Oh, that's it. I need a story, Steve. Steve! Bring me a prisoner to read a story. Huh? What? How is it possible that in the giant, massive city of Los Angeles, you were unable to find a victim to read one of my stories? Oh. Well, I guess that does make sense. Very well, it is a pity, but understandable. I guess we have no other choice but to travel down to the clone vats.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is it?
Oh, someone's here.
Well, what the hell happened here? Steve, what happened to this monstrosity? This was supposed to be 8 clones of one person, but now it's 8 people combined into one person. It's a fucking flesh pile monstrosity.
That's not very nice. You can say whatever you want as long as you let me out.
Well, I suppose it doesn't matter much. I'm in need of one of my stories being read to me by someone else, and you're all I have right now, my amalgamation of flesh and bone. So here you go. Read me this.
No. Or what?
Not gonna do that.
You're gonna clone me? Again? Because that went so well the first time.
What do you mean, no? I created you from nothing but a bunch of cells I harvested from your host. I can make things very bad for you if you do not agree to read my story.
I'm not sure it can get much worse than this.
However, I could perhaps grant you a boon if you do read it.
Well, let's hear the man out. Let's see what he's got on the table.
What else are we doing, staring at each other?
Maybe if we're bad enough, he'll kill us.
Maybe if we're good enough, he'll kill us.
You mean we can die now?
I mean, I could kill you, I suppose, but it depends on how good you read this story. Do we have a deal?
Fine. Yay! Death!
Beaks 2, Turkey Slay. The clock struck 6 on Thanksgiving morn with the gobbling of dozens of turkeys from one of the White House parking lots. There used to be grass here, a famous rose garden. But it was now just parking lots upon parking lots for the billionaires in chief to park their fleet of expensive and high-tech vehicles. The turkeys gobbled in suspense, wondering whom amongst them was about to live while the rest were brutally slaughtered. The president, John Van Wildebeest, rose from his golden perch where he slept under the influence of expensive sleeping pills and peeked out the window. In the smog-blotted, barely light of morning, he saw the turkeys. Their scaly red heads, blue rings around their eyes like bubonic boils, and wide feathery tails. He couldn't wait to have them in his tummy on this wonderful Thanksgiving day. But first, he had to smile for the high-tech camera phones, power on his internal microphone, and announce which turkey he would pardon. It was a stupid tradition, brought to him by a century of stupid, weepy presidents. All he wanted was to chop off some poultry heads, sit down at a table with his family and dead parent holograms, and enjoy the most American of dinners. But first, he must do this performative nonsense. President Van Wildebeest, dressed in his most expensive suit, complete with a tie that bore the visages of hundreds of small turkeys, which his son had purchased from the shopping cloud that always hung above the White House. He hated the tie turkeys. Hated them as much as he hated the ones that he would now go see and smell and hear. He shuddered. Turkeys were for eating, not for seeing. For a Meleagris phobiac like himself, this was the hardest task he ever had to do. John was a strong man and a good president, afraid of nothing but turkeys and vicious as all get out. He had led this country to a wonderful future during his 25 years of ruling. He had tried to eliminate this ridiculous tradition for the first 15 years of his presidency, but his cabinet held onto it tighter than they had held onto anything as silly as the Constitution. So he had eventually given up and agreed to do this Thanksgiving morn act. He took a deep breath. No one's ever died by turkey, he told himself, ignoring all those reports of the listeria outbreak he'd had to deal with last Thanksgiving. He put on his intelliglasses that would tell him all the best gossip on the reporters and left the presidential suite. President Van Wildebeest stood as far away from the turkeys as he could manage, his spine stiff as a flagpole. Their disgusting splats of fecal matter covered the previously pristine pavement around him. He held in his shudder, for there were cameras buzzing all around him, and he would never let the American people see him sweat. "Well, which turkey will it be?" one reporter from Fox and the Hen House News asked. "Which bird will get to live on this day?" John glanced behind his back at the turkeys. They were all staring at him. 72 beady eyes boring into his very soul. This was his nightmare. It never happened like this. Every other year, the turkeys would peck stupidly around, eating their last meals. But today, John couldn't shake the feeling that they were becoming more sentient. That one, he said, pointing to a random turkey in the sea of demons. The turkeys began to cackle. That sound terrified John. Bounced around his cranium like a nightmare, dragging him back to the worst day of his life so many years ago. Little John was only 4 when he fell into his grandpappy's turkey enclosure. No, President Van von Wildebeest wouldn't think of that now. He was a strong, powerful man. Some would say the most powerful man on this weak planet. He was in charge now. These turkeys couldn't hurt him. "A turkey has been pardoned," the press secretary bellowed, bravely striding through the horde of turkeys, finding the one that John had pointed to, picking it up by its throat, and holding it up for all the cameras to see. "You can all go home now." The White House chef strode over to the president and handed him a sharp cleaver and a plastic poncho. John clicked a button on his smart glasses, and they morphed into safety goggles. Finally, he turned towards the turkeys. This was his favorite part. He held up the cleaver and rushed at the turkeys, ready to get his revenge. The first family, humans and holograms, were halfway through their dinner when they heard the first gobble. President Van von Wildebeest glanced down in horror at the perfectly roasted poultry on his fork, which was halfway to his mouth.
Dad, did this turkey just gobble at us?"
his young son asked. The first lady threw down her silverware. "This is why we should have gone with the billion-dollar turkeys. They would have stayed dead." "Family," the president said, rattled. "I'm sure there's a logical explanation for the—" He was cut off by another gobble. He, too, threw down his silverware, and everyone rushed away from the table, squawking like overexcited monkeys. John marched towards the kitchen to alert the chef that his turkey was, somehow, still alive. But as he reached the kitchen door, there was something blocking his way. A turkey. The very one he had pardoned. He'd never before thought there was a way to tell the difference between these creatures, but he knew in his gut what this was. It was staring at him, into him, with large, wet eyes. The skin above its eyes, its eyebrows, was furrowed impossibly, as if it were disappointed, or worse, angry. What are you doing here?" he sputtered at it. His staff was supposed to have taken the pardoned turkey back to the factory turkey farm from whence it came. President Van von Wildebeest had only one serious rule for the White House under his command: no turkeys on the property except for the hour between 7 and 8 on Thanksgiving morning. But this turkey had somehow escaped and infiltrated the White House. And here it was, taunting him. The turkey didn't answer his question because it was, of course, a turkey. It just opened its beak, its terrifying, shriveled snood flapping, giving way to pure blackness. And then it gobbled. President Van von Wildebeest was sure he could see down its entire throat. It looked big enough to swallow him whole. He flashed back to that dreaded day. Little John couldn't get up. He was stuck in the mud, knee-deep in turkey shit. Turkeys were running at him, beaks ready to stab, spurs ready to claw his eyes out. "Dad?" the first young son asked from behind him. "How'd the turkey get in here?" President Van von Wildebeest snapped out of it. He didn't know how, but he knew why. He could see it in the turkey's beady eyes, in the way it clenched and unclenched its feet. Talons digging pits into the wooden floor. It was here for revenge. Run, son, he shouted, grabbing the boy around the middle, scooping him up and taking off across the glistening floors of the first dining room. He couldn't let the turkey catch them. He would do whatever he had to in order to protect his offspring. The first family and holograms cowered in the White House living room, their fear stinking up the place. The president had locked the staff outside of the room, hoping the turkey would get them first. He was lying on the floor, looking underneath the door. It was very unpresidential of him, but he didn't care. He could hear that turkey waddling through the hallways, claws clicking against the floor. Its clacking was coming closer, growing in volume. John heard the press secretary's voice coming down the hallway behind it. "Here, turkey, turkey!" the press secretary screeched. The turkey came into view first. And though John was terrified and felt the piss trickling down his leg, he couldn't look away. The press secretary came into view, carrying the large sack the White House Santas used for carrying gifts.
"Let's get you out of here," he said, tiptoeing toward the turkey.
He was inches from its tail when the turkey cocked its head to the side and then turned slowly towards the press secretary. The press secretary reached out to grab the turkey around its neck, but the turkey lunged towards him, pecking at his legs.
"Hey, stop that!" the press secretary shouted, kicking at the turkey.
The turkey opened its beak wide, wrapped it around the secretary's shoelaces, and clamped down. The press secretary tripped and fell to the floor, scrambling to get up. The turkey flapped its horrible wings, impossibly rising 6 inches into the air, and flew to the press secretary's face.
"I think we pardoned the wrong turkey," he screamed.
The bird beast put its beak right over the secretary's screaming maw and bit down. Flesh tore as the turkey bit the secretary's lip, working its way up to his nose, which broke under the pressure of a beak built to crack nuts, and finally to his eyes, which the turkey popped out one by one. The press secretary was undoubtedly dead. President Van von Wildebeest shrieked in terror as the most crimson of liquid, that being blood, spurted from the press secretary's facial wounds onto the White House's recently remodeled floors. The turkey turned its eagle-eyed gaze upon the ruler of the free world, showing the president how his secretary's blood dripped from its wattle. And then, its barbed tongue slithered from its mouth and squirmed to its beak, licking the blood like a human would lick a popsicle. It stalked toward the door, one sharp, horrific step at a time, accompanied by gobbles. President Van von Wildebeest jumped back, launching himself across the room.
"We have to get out of here," the president shouted. "That bird just killed the press secretary!"
He began throwing all the valuables into a White House tote bag, tossed coats at the first family, and glanced at the bookshelf. He pulled a copy of Mein Kampf, and the bookshelf opened into a private tunnel, meant for this very reason, to get the president quickly away from his enemies. He went first, pulling his family members in after him.
"Sorry,"
he told his parent holograms as he clicked them off, their bodies dissolving into air. He pushed the bookshelf closed behind him, sprinting through the tunnels, his family hot on his tail. What he didn't see, what no one saw, was the turkey slink under the gap in the door and come up on the other side into the living room. It saw that the bookshelf was open just a crack, and it let itself into the tunnel. President Van von Wildebeest led his family toward the White House panic room. He did not let his young son and wife go first, because he was the most important person in the world. And if he wasn't saved, what would become of anyone else? His family would perish without him anyway. They were within arm's reach of the panic room security code panel when the pitter-patter came. Impossibly, it echoed around them like cannon fire. John would know that sound anywhere. Bird feet. The minuscule claws tapping at the old wooden floor as they had tapped on his head all those years ago. No, he couldn't think about it. He had to get inside the bunker while he still had time. He tried to type in his security code, but his shaking fingers couldn't do it. He kept pushing every button at once, his fingers flopping like dead fish over the keypad.
Finally, he was able to override it and use the pupil scanning technology instead. He stared right into the laser as it slid over his eyes, but there was an error. "Come on!" the president shouted, sweating. "John, it's coming!" the first lady shouted, voice trembling in delicious terror. He tried the laser eye scan again, but again it failed. He deigned to glance behind him, and there it was, the turkey, scowling at him. And before he could stop it, the turkey sprinted toward his son, gobbling with every waddle.
"No!"
the first lady shouted, running between her son and the turkey. She pushed her son back, and he fell into the president's legs. Ow. The president grabbed him, holding onto him with an unbreakable grip. The turkey was upon the first lady in seconds, scraping and pecking at her. She screamed like she was being murdered, because, of course, she was. The turkey stuck its beak in her mouth, silencing her. It opened its beak to all its extended height, and the woman's very head split apart at the seams, her nose up, flopping onto the floor before the president and his son. Her philtrum down stayed attached to her body, and the turkey flapped off of her, looming before the president.
"What have you done? You're a monster!"
John shouted. In that moment, he forgot he was the president of the most powerful country, on the most powerful planet in the solar system. He only knew fear, running up his insides like a freight train and threatening to spew out of both ends. Quickly, he turned back to the panic room. He could get his son inside. After all, that's what any responsible parent would do. His eyes were now wide in horror. The scan finally read them.
"President Van Von Wildebeest, welcome,"
it said in its robotic voice.
"Enjoy your stay."
"Enjoy my stay? This is a panic room!" he screamed at the disembodied robot voice.
"Welcome,"
it said in return, for robots could not read a room, even a panic room. There wasn't time to fight with a robot. The turkey was right on John's tail. The president pushed his son inside the panic room. The boy fell to the ground, whimpering, but the president didn't care. What were a couple of skinned knees when two people had already been pecked to death? He rushed in after his son and slammed the door, pressing a button to pressure lock it into place, like the pressure cooker their Thanksgiving bird had been cooked in so recently. He heaved a breath of relief. They were safe. But his wife, his secretary, it was all too much. How had that evil turkey gotten into the White House? How had it even become what it now was?
"Panic room! Tell me about this turkey!" he demanded.
The panic room clicked to life again, but it wasn't just the robotic voice this time. The metal walls of the dreaded room transformed into projectors, and a black and white video from the old times flickered to life around the president and his son.
"Dad, what's going on? Where's Mom?"
the boy whimpered.
"Quiet, son,"
the president said, his eyes boring into the video as it began.
"In the 1950s and 60s, the CIA began experimenting on fowl as part of its MKUltra program,"
the ancient narrator said. MKUltra. He had heard about this. That program was more than 100 years old by now. How could this affect him?
"The experiments began with pigeons captured off the streets of Rome."
President Van Von Wildebeest shuddered. On screen, pigeons traipsed around the Piazza Navona, pecking at the ground. A man with a black bag and an American flag on his lapel scooped them up and pulled them away, the pigeons cawing and uselessly causing the bag to levitate with their flapping wings. The American man grabbed the bag before it could fly high, hugging it in his pizza-fueled arms.
"The pigeons were used for torture,"
the voice continued.
"What's torture, Dad?"
the first son asked. "This," the president said, his voice trembling, referring to the events happening around them and not the pathetic-looking hippies on screen. The video went on to show prisoners in their mind control labs. They were refusing to answer questions. That's when the pigeons were brought in. The CIA's human experiments screamed as their bird experiments pecked inside their ears, pecking out brain matter.
"Look away, son!"
the president shouted, covering his son's eyes. What was this horror? The pigeons on the video didn't leave the brains there. They ate them, like they had a taste for it. The president hurled,
"Soon, the experiments moved on from pigeons to seagulls to chickens and finally to turkeys.
The video explained. Each fowl flashed across the screen as their names were read. Turkeys, the president muttered, frozen in fear. 57 years ago, MK Ultra created poultry death machines, and one of their descendants was outside this very panic room. How do we beat it? President Van Von Wildebeest asked the room around him. But the robot voice was silent. The video clicked off as if a computer had gone to sleep. Room? Room? Are you there? Panic room? No voices, robot or other, answered. No! The president yelled. No! The room was broken, and so were the president's hopes of surviving the night. Ping! Ping! Twin clangs of metal, like hinges popping off a door. But it couldn't be. Not here. This room could not be infiltrated. That was the whole point of it. Dad, I see the turkey, the first son cried, staring in horror at the door. Back, son, the president shouted, yanking his offspring away and behind him. The metal door fell off its hinges with a great clatter and smashed to the floor. The turkey lurked in its absence, staring at them with metal screws between its terrible beak. How had this bird gotten this very secure door open? This door had higher security clearance than even President Van Von Wildebeest. There wasn't time to figure that out. The president pushed his son back against the wall again. Call for help, he screamed. There's a name brand phone watch on the far wall. His son rushed to the back wall of the panic room. The president picked up a nearby baseball bat to use as a weapon. But then came a tug on the ankle cuff of his designer pants. He looked down and screamed. The turkey had him. It would be only seconds now before he was devoured. He'd known all his life that this would be his fate. The vision of the turkey sent him back to his childhood, back into that turkey coop. He was but a child. The turkeys didn't discriminate. All they saw was an invader. Though Little John screamed, begging them to stop, one evil beaked visage came down upon him after another, pecking, biting. His grandpappy heard him. He rushed out and batted the turkeys away, saving John's young life, allowing him to grow and become the great leader he was today, allowing him to lie about those scars and tell everyone they were from when he survived the war. But his grandpappy was dead, and soon he would be too. No one was coming to save him. The turkey, murder in its beady eyes, clenched down on the president's Achilles tendon. It snapped like a rubber band, and he fell to the floor, falling into his own puddle of vomit. His ankle bled out around him, like a broken bowl of cranberry sauce. Please, I pardoned you, he screamed, now face to face with the turkey. You owe me.
You've killed so many,
the turkey said. What was that? John screamed, looking around the hallway for humans or ghosts. But no one was there. The president blinked his eyes. Was the turkey talking to him? Or was he going mad from the pain?
You cannot kill and kill and kill and get away with saving one. But I suppose I will do as you do,
the turkey monologued. Yes, yes, do that. Pardon me, the president begged.
I will pardon your offspring,
the turkey replied, voice gravelly and gobbly. John wanted to be pardoned. After all, he was the president. The whole world needed him. But he couldn't very well tell the turkey that. Not when his son was right there. Not when there were cameras watching and listening to all of this. There was so much the president had yet to do. So many countries he wanted to liberate. So many funds he wanted to embezzle. But the turkey wanted what it wanted. It didn't even give him a chance to answer. It hopped up onto his body and pecked one incredibly strong time at his ribcage. The bones broke like a porcelain bowl of corn dropping to the floor. The president screamed,
Was he really made of such fragile material that one peck could rip him apart? Maybe he wasn't that powerful after all. He was still alive, clinging to life, as the turkey nibbled at his pericardium and the atria around his heart. It broke the sac and most of the threads, and was able to rip the heart straight out of the man's chest. It held the heart in its beak, like a great feast, and gobbled it down its craw. Scarlet blood dripped from the turkey's blue, scaly face, and with the tip of his head still clean white, it looked like the American flag. The turkey looked straight into the cameras, his waddle quivering.
Gobble bless America.
Well, I have to say I'm amazed at your ability to only have one voice when you're reading my story, but tell me, what did you think of it?
I loved it.
Well,
such a brilliant
it was
writer.
A story.
Got to the end.
My, it's so annoying talking to you. You know what? I was thinking about leaving you trapped inside my dungeon to read stories forevermore, but it's just too irritating interacting with you, so... Steve? Give her her heart's desire!
Yay! Yay, it's over! Oh my god!
Steve, I suppose there's some sort of metaphor or message for what's happening right now, but I'm too good of a writer to say it out loud. This episode was performed by Dana Feitelson and Lord Serpent. It was edited by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, and Lord Serpent. Turkey Slay was written by Stacey Milbourne and Lord Serpent. It was produced by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, Charles Brock, and Lord Serpent. Michael Morgan and Lord Serpent were the audio engineers. The music was composed by Charles Brock and Lord Serpent. Tune in next week for even evil more story terror will you find. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lord Serpent's Library and check out my homepage at rss.com/podcasts/Lord Serpent's Library.